This is Radio Superior 1944, a reproduction of actual news events with authentic popular music from 1944. This is a true story of our past. Step back with us to another time. We bring you now into the KUWS radio studios and the Martin and McKenna Show.
Yes, this is the voice from the head of the Great Lakes station, KUWS. Jack McKenna here reminding you to salvage the scrap to blast the Jap. It's 6 p.m. Standard Wartime Friday, December 29th, 1944. Lou Martin is in with the 6 o'clock news. One of those stories is about the disappearance of band leader Major Glenn Miller. We're dedicating tonight's show to his music. The 6 o'clock news is brought to you by Lignell Rexall Drugstore. Come in next week for a free examination and do what Lou does. Have your truss adjusted. Evening, Lou.
Good evening, Jack, and good listeners. It's now official. Bandleader Major Alton Glenn Miller is missing. The War Department first reported him as missing a week ago, but they waited an extra week after that to declare him officially missing. The circumstances are not clear about Major Miller's disappearance. His plane apparently crashed en route from England to Paris on December the 15th, 2 weeks ago. Allied headquarters says no trace of the plane has been found. No other band members were with him. In peacetime, Major Miller was the leader of the Glenn Miller Orchestra. He enlisted in November of 1942 and became the director of the Air Force Band, which played many concerts in England. The 40-year-old Major Miller lived in Tenafly, New Jersey, with his wife and two adopted children. We'll have more on the life of Glenn Miller and his music after the news. The war news from Belgium is that the Nazis are in reverse and the escape gap is tightening. We begin our World Shortwave Radio Roundup from London.
This is London calling. Webb Miller here. Correspondents from Belgium report that Nazi General Karl von Rundstedt is withdrawing some of his armed forces from the Belgian Bulge. Von Rundstedt's efforts to reach the River Meuse has apparently failed. In one of the coldest and snowiest winters in memory in Western Europe, Allied forces have rallied to stop the overwhelming Nazi blitzkrieg. That blitzkrieg worked in 1940, sweeping through the Ardennes, through Belgium, and into France. But now, German panzers and Tiger tanks didn't get the help needed from the Luftwaffe. Indeed, the U.S. 8th Air Force combined with the Royal Air Force has been smashing German troops, tanks, supply lines, and artillery. Today, 1,500 U.S. bombers and fighter escorts flew from Britain, raining thousands of tons of bombs on the Germans. This was the seventh straight day of attacks by heavy bombers. In London, this is Webb Miller reporting, calling advanced headquarters, U.S. 9th Air Force on the Western Front. Come in, Max Jordan.
Hello, this is Belgium. Max Jordan reporting from Bastogne. The U.S. infantry, along with incredible air support, has broken the back of the Nazi winter offensive in the Ardennes Forest. I am proud to announce the Bastogne has been held. Today, Lieutenant General George S. Patton's 3rd Army tanks burst deep into the Nazi bulge to relieve this besieged city. Until now, the city defenses held tightly. All of this comes after General Anthony McAuliffe turned down a German surrender offer with the simple reply of, "Nuts." The city garrison then stiffened its resistance. I know, I was there. But the carnage is horrific on both sides. Besides tanks and bombs, flamethrowers, and any weapon either side could get was used. Although the offensive has been checked by Allied forces, the battle continues to rage in Belgium and northern Luxembourg. Total Nazi gain since their attack on December 16th is about 40 miles. In Belgium, this is Max Jordan calling the Pacific. Come in, Pearl Harbor.
This is Pearl Harbor, your reporter Frank Tremaine on the scene. Enemy radio broadcasts monitored here say another American invasion force is headed toward the Philippines. Allied Pacific headquarters here will not confirm ship movements, but the Japanese broadcast says a convoy of 30 troop transport vessels and 20 cruisers and destroyers are sailing through the Mindanao Sea. This report follows recent Nipponese speculation that General Douglas MacArthur is preparing to invade the Philippine principal island of Luzon. While the Japanese are growing uneasy with U.S. convoy movements, Vice Admiral Mark Mitcher is predicting the liquidation of the Jap fleet in 1945. The former commander of Task Force 58 predicted at Pearl today their recent losses couldn't be sustained, and the pride of the Japanese military will soon no longer be a factor in the war. Otherwise, operations in the Philippines are at a lull as Marines mop up the northern part of Lady Island at Pearl Harbor. This is Frank Tremaine.
United States Navy officials say a lag in building ships and planes could cripple Allied plans in 1945. Even so, the number of combatant ships now is three times what it was when Pearl Harbor was attacked 3 years ago. There are almost 1,200 fighting ships and 37,000 planes. All of that is backed by almost 90,000 landing craft and auxiliary ships. The ships include 90 aircraft carriers of different sizes, from escort carriers to 8 front-line carriers. Even so, a manpower shortage and high labor turnover could upset American offensive plans next year. KUWS Radio News Time is 6:07. Jack McKenna has this message from Licknell Rexall Drug.
Thank you very much, Lou. Here's a name you seldom hear mentioned in good company. Ruptured. Yes, it makes some people shake because, you see, it's very painful and hard to deal with. Now, at Licknell Rexall Drugstore, you can see a factory representative. They're at 1022 Tower Avenue in Superior. And from January 9th, 10th, and 11th, that man will be there Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Men, women, and children, come in. A free examination. Have your old truss adjusted. No charge. Trusses, abdominal and sacroiliac belts, and elastic hosiery are available. That's Licknell Drugstore.
We're reminded daily about the high cost of this war by the list we're about to give you of upstate men killed or wounded. KUWS radio newsman Mike Simonson reports.
This is the longest single-day list of the war so far, Lou. Upwards of 20 men from upstate Wisconsin are casualties. Ironically, this does not include what are expected to be a high number of losses from the Battle of the Belgian Bulge. The War Department is not releasing any casualty lists from that battle yet. Mrs. Elaine Zatko of Birch Avenue in Superior has been notified that her husband has been killed. Sergeant George Zatko was killed November 20th in France while fighting with the infantry. Sergeant Zatko enlisted 2 years ago in 1942, received his training in Camp Claiborne, Louisiana, and was sent to France in October. The 26-year-old Zatko is survived by his wife and son, George Jr., his father, three brothers, and three sisters. Mrs. Inge Anderson of John Avenue in Superior also received news that her son was killed. Private First Class Ralph Kermit Anderson was killed while fighting in France December 1st. Private Anderson enlisted in December of 1942 and has been overseas for just 3 months. He is survived by his mother and two brothers, Staff Sergeant Idar and Private First Class Herbert Anderson. Both of them are also overseas. Others wounded in action, but little else is known of their circumstances, are Private Joseph Taroski of Superior. Tech Sergeant Laverne Clark, whose wife is in Ladysmith, is reported wounded. Private First Class James Geach, his mother lives in Hurley. Sergeant Albert Edquist, his mother is in Poplar. Private Robert Kennedy, his mother Myrtle, lives in Ashland. Private William Hopkins is reported wounded. His father is in Hayward. Mrs. Lydia Squires of Mason was told her son, Lieutenant Charles Squires, was wounded. Staff Sergeant George Stengel of Webster and Marine Private James Berard of Hayward are also listed as wounded. Several others are missing in action. No details come with these men, although it is believed these are the first names from the German offensive in the Ardennes. Missing are Private Alan Emerson of Superior, PFC Valentine Augustine of Mellon, Private Joseph Schultz of Birchwood, and PFC William O'Hara, husband of Mrs. Iva O'Hara of Wentworth. A long list, Lou.
KUWS radio newsman Mike Simonson. The United Press is carrying a story that's going nationwide about the heroics of a soldier from Superior. PFC Walter Dasher of the 44th Division of the 7th Army was with a patrol in the forests of the Ardennes. Suddenly, three machine gun nests opened fire. The patrol was ambushed. Every time a GI moved, the machine guns opened up. And then a voice came from the German position, speaking in perfect Oxford English. Listen, Americans, you know that your position is hopeless. One by one, you'll be killed. Surrender now, we'll give you a hot meal and a warm bed. On and on, the voice continued, making the same warm promise until just as suddenly, Private Dasher jumped to his feet and shouted, "Damn you, come and get me." Dashner fired his Browning automatic from his hip as he shouted, emptying 6 clips into the machine gun nests. His buddies caught the spirit and dashed forward, firing away. The battle lasted 2 minutes, and the Germans were wiped out. None of the Yank patrol was hurt, and the patrol continued. Jack?
I guess Private Dashner doesn't like a warm German meal. Thanks, Lou. The rootinest, tootinest newsman around. Now let's check our forecast for this Friday, right? December 29th, 1944. It's going to get nice and warm, friends. Tonight's low will be around 15 above, while Saturday's high will reach a balmy 38 degrees. Get out the short sleeves, guys. Tonight we honor Major Glenn Miller, who today was listed as missing in action. This is Serenade in Blue on the Martin and McKenna Show. Music of Glenn Miller and his orchestra with Serenade in Blue on station KUWS. I dug up some interesting stuff on Glenn Miller, Lou.
You've always been his biggest fan. I've got some things, too.
Well, you go ahead, then. My guess is that you've got lots of facts, like a good newsman should have.
Alton Glenn Miller was born in Lucinda, Iowa, March the 1st of 1904. His first musical instrument was a mandolin, which his father got him when they lived in North Platte, Nebraska.
I didn't know that.
First chance he got, Glenn Miller traded the mandolin for an old horn, and he practiced diligently. In 1923, he attended the University of Colorado, but when he failed in 3 out of 5 courses, he dropped out to play in a band.
Good career move.
He moved to L.A. and joined Ben Pollock's band. In 1928, he left Pollock's band and headed back east to New York, where he worked as a session musician. In 1934, he signed on as a trombonist and arranger with Tommy and Jimmy Dorsey and the Dorsey Brothers Orchestra. He didn't form his own band until 1935, and after little success, he disbanded the orchestra in early 1938.
Then he signed with discount-priced Bluebird label of RCA Victor Records. That's when he came across a new sound, a hot sound. He used a clarinet and tenor sax for the melody on the same note, while 3 other saxes harmonized. You understand, Lou?
Yes, the new band attracted attention, and he got his first big break in the summer of 1939, playing at the Glen Island Casino in New Rochelle, New York.
A big swing place with a live radio wire so people could hear the Glenn Miller Orchestra nationwide. Here's one of his very first hits from 1939, Sunrise Serenade, on the Martin and McKenna Show. Lovely Sunrise Serenade by Glenn Miller and his orchestra. In December of 1939, Glenn Miller and his orchestra signed up for a three-times-a-week radio series called the Chesterfield Supper Club. I remember it well. 1939 was his first big year, with 17 top 10 numbers on the hit parade. But 1940 was even huger.
Bigger.
Just funning with you, Lou.
Joking?
Right. In 1940, Glenn Miller had 31 top 10 hits, three times as many as Tommy Dorsey, who had the second most hits. Yeah, it's a shame we had to wait until these circumstances to dedicate a show to Glenn Miller. But at least we can spend the whole half hour playing his music.
Except I forgot I scheduled a guest who has some important news for the War Drive.
Okie dokie, but we'll be quick with her and play more Glenn Miller.
She's the fat lady.
That's not nice, Lou. But I'm sure she has a fine personality.
She's not a fat lady.
Not that there's anything wrong with that. My grandmother was big-boned. Let's listen to another number, friends. Here's, and I like this one, Perfidia on the Martin and McKenna Show. Orchestra with Ray Eberly and the Modern Airs and Perfidia on station KUWS.
I'd like to introduce Mrs. Darlene Thompson, who has an important message. Good evening, madam.
Good evening, Mr. Martin. Say, I was disappointed that you missed a very important news story on your news broadcast earlier this hour. There was a terror in the John Minor family today. Terrible terror, don't you know?
I'm sorry. I guess I missed something then.
Well, Daddy Minor, he's a brakeman for the Lake Superior Terminal and Transfer Railroad, don't you know? Well, don't you know, he broke his arm when a brake failed on one of the cars. Well, that's not the half of it, don't you know?
No, we don't.
Oh, Mommy Miner was called to St. Mary's Hospital, you know, to be with her husband, don't you know? And well, while she was there, her 11-year-old daughter, Jane, caught her hair in the clothes wringer.
Oh, wow.
Poor Jane was completely scalped and had to join her daddy at St. Mary's Hospital. But both are doing fine now.
I think I'm going to be sick.
Thank you, Mrs. Thompson. But your other reason for being here.
By the way, Lou, I wouldn't call her fat. She is a little husky, but not fat.
Well.
You see, I told everyone that the fat lady was coming.
That's what I am, people, and proud of it. Women of Superior, we must meet our fat salvage quota for this month. Time is running out. The nation's fat salvage goal is 26 million pounds for Uncle Sam.
Now, that's really fat.
Remember, your country is depending on those used fats to help make medicines, bullets, synthetic rubber, and soaps for military and civilian use, don't you know? Now, ladies, pay attention. You bachelors can help, too. Mm-hmm. Yeah, first, save all bits of fat trimmed down from your meat, and then once a week, melt them down.
Boy, Axel Fennell down in the boiler room will hate to hear that. He likes to eat his fat.
Almost as much as you like to chew the fat.
Second, scrape the pans before washing them. Don't you know that no amount is too small to be of use? And third, skim stews, soups, and gravies while they cool. Chill them and scoop off the fat. Fourth, save water in which you cook the hot dog, sausage, and ham. Chill and scoop off the fat.
My dog likes to drink fat water.
Well, keep the fat in a tin can, bring it to the butcher, and he'll give you 4 cents a pound and 2 red rationing points. Well, I've even put together a little ditty so you remember. Fat, fat, please save your fat. Save your fat. It's as simple as that.
Thank you, Mrs. Darlene Thompson.
How did you know I was finished?
Because, of course, the fat lady has just sung. On with the music of Glenn Miller and his orchestra, then. Here's Jukebox Saturday Night, a real swinger on the Martin and McKenna Show.
Mopping up soda pop rickies to our heart's delight.
Dancing to the swingaroo quickies, Jukebox Saturday Night.
Jukebox Saturday night. They put nothing past us.
Me and Honey Lamb
making one Coke last us
till it's time to scram.
Money we really don't need that.
We make out all right.
Let the other guy feed that. Jukebox Saturday night.
Soda, we got a scheme. Somebody else plays the record machine. It's so easy to say pet names when you listen to the trumpet of Harry James.
Boom, 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 boom.
Taylor and his orchestra on Jukebox Saturday Night. Boy, do I remember that. On station KUWS. Glenn Miller scored another 11 top 10 hits in 1941, making him the top recording artist 2 years in a row. He made it 3 years in a row in 1942 with 11 more top 10 hits.
But 1942 was the first full year of war for America, and Glenn Miller arranged an officer's commission into the Army Air Force on September the 10th. 17 days later, he broke up the band and bid farewell to the nation.
He stayed stateside to entertain troops at military camps and raise money at war bond rallies, but he wanted to go overseas.
Which he did this past June. He took his orchestra with him to Great Britain and performed for troops and did many radio broadcasts, even one in German as propaganda. He was preparing to go to Paris when his plane disappeared 2 weeks ago. He was 40 years old.
Glenn Miller was a very private person, and some say misunderstood. His wife and family and his manager say, although he was reserved, he was extremely warm toward those close to him. Other musicians thought he was cold and even insecure in his drive for perfection. But it seems everyone respected that perfection in Glenn Miller.
We'll leave you with his last radio broadcast before he went into the service. This is from 1942.
For Glenn Miller, then, wherever you are, Glenn, good night, everyone.
Harry, naturally, we're very reluctant to give up our moonlight serenade. But since I got a date with Uncle Sam coming up, I can sincerely say I'd rather have you take over our regular Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday spot than anyone I know. So, next Tuesday, get to work, mister.
Well, Captain Miller, coming from you, that's an order. But seriously, Glenn, I'm sure everyone agrees with me that you're doing a mighty fine thing in joining the Army.
Thank you very much, Harry. I'll try. You know, folks, it makes me feel a little sad to leave Marion, Tex, Skip, the Modern Airs, this wonderful gang of boys in the band, and all our friends listening. But there's a lot of swell guys in the outfit I'm going in, and maybe all of us can get together again after this thing is over. In the meantime, I'll see you all in the Army, and we'll say goodbye in the best way we know how.
You've been listening to Radio Superior 1944, an original weekly production by KUWS Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio. Radio Superior is produced and written by Mike Simonson. Other performances by Duke Skorich, John Munsell. All events reported on Radio Superior 1944 are actual accounts from the editions of the Superior Evening Telegram. Join us next week at this time for more Radio Superior. This is your announcer, Tony Jasmine, speaking. Good night.